We'll see how this works.
I'd like you to turn to Acts, please, chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin. I wanted to take a little time here this morning to share just a little bit, anyway, of the background behind Pentecost, because it, and I've shared this before, but it's just magnificent. It always amazes me the tapestry of God's Word. And how that God set up what ultimately was accomplished by His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How the things that were set up for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament pointed toward what it was that the Christ would accomplish. There were three major feasts that Israel observed. The first one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread would begin on the day immediately following the Passover. And it lasted 7 days. Okay? They would sacrifice that Passover lamb. That would begin immediately the day following, which began in our evening. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. Beginning with the day after the weekly Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they would begin counting toward what became to be known as Pentecost. Okay? Now, on that day following the weekly Sabbath, during the week of Unleavened Bread, they would offer the first fruits of the barley harvest. Each feast revolved around a harvest. The first, being the Feast of Unleavened Bread, took place in the spring of the year. They would count 49 days, 7 weeks, after that day after the weekly Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day after that 49th day would be day number what?
50.
That's what Pentecost means. It means 50th. And it was called, it was also called the Feast of Weeks. Kind of makes sense. Because you're counting 7 weeks, the day after the seventh week is 50. Pentecost. Now, that was further into the year, closer to summer, and it would celebrate, or they would celebrate, the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Okay, it was the second harvest of the year. So the first was Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second was Pentecost. It was a one-day feast. The third feast was called the Feast of Tabernacles. It was also called the Feast of the Ingathering. And it was also a seven-day feast. And it was during that feast that Israel would celebrate the final harvest of the year, including the harvest of grapes. Okay? So, by the time of the that we're going to read about today in Acts chapter 2, it was known and become to be known as Pentecost. That's what it was commonly referred to this day. Okay? And what I'd like to do is begin in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And I want you to remember what we just looked at regarding the feasts. Or considered, anyway. We didn't look at anything. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." That's referring to the Gospel of Luke, That's the first or the former treatise that is being referred to here. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay? Luke ends with the ascension, which we're going to read about shortly. When Jesus Christ in his resurrected body ascended to the right hand of the Father. Verse 3, to whom these apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, and the passion refers to his sufferings, his sacrifice, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, this 40 days began with the day after his resurrection. It was the morning where he showed himself to, who remembers? To Mary. When she saw him, remember, she supposed him to be the gardener. That was also the day when the priest was to wave the first fruits of the barley harvest. That's right. Jesus Christ, being high priest in his resurrected body, presented himself to the Father as the first fruits from the dead. The first harvest of the year. It was from that day, for 40 days, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Okay? So, we're 10 days from what?
Pentecost.
From Pentecost. Right. Of whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God. Keep a ribbon here. We're just going to look at a couple verses. But I want to look at the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Or at least I'm going to read this to you if you don't want to turn there. Mark chapter 1. So for this time, in his resurrected body, he spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John, this is John the Baptist, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ taught the gospel pertaining to the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of John, most of you know this record. It's in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ by night. Remember that? And Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, unless a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See? And he was amazed that Nicodemus, who was supposed to be a teacher, didn't know about this. Didn't know about being born from above. Didn't know about being born of spirit. See? And it would be that spirit that would be required to enter into the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 9, I think it's verse 1. Jesus Christ said to some of his disciples that were there, some of you will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom of God come with power. That's right. And in Matthew chapter 13, it begins in verse 24. might want to write that one down. It's kind of a neat record. But Jesus Christ shares with them a parable. And in that parable, by the time you get to the end of it, you see two phases, two parts regarding the kingdom of God. The first is the Son of Man sowing good seed. That's right. And the good seed is the Word of God, and that which results are the children of the kingdom. The second phase is when those children, those righteous ones, will shine forth in the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus Christ taught his men, things pertaining to this kingdom of God that would come with power. Verse 4. And being assembled together. That word assembled, many of you know this. It means to be, it's the word salted with the word soon, which means together. So it means literally to be salted together. It could also be used to eat together. And in the East, when they would eat a meal together, they would eat salted food. It's often how it was preserved. That's mainly how it was preserved. And any agreement or covenants that they would enter into, they would make before eating the salted food together. See, they were salted together. Now, it's going to, in the rest of this verse, explain what it was that they agreed to. Jesus Christ commanded them, this is what they were to do, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, you have heard of me. 4. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with what? Holy Spirit. This was the promise of the Father that Jesus Christ had taught these men regarding. John the Baptist himself spoke of he who comes after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire. John taught regarding this. Number of places in the Gospels. This baptism with Holy Spirit would be a greater baptism than that which John baptized with. John's baptism, the purpose of John's baptism, was to point out, was to mark out who the Christ would be. Boy, I wish I could remember where this record is. I'm going to try something here. Matthew. Yeah. Let's just read this. This is so wonderful. Verse 11. Matthew chapter 3. There's another place in the Gospels where John said that it is not of me, but the Father told me that he who would baptize with Holy Spirit, that he would see a dove descend upon him, like that he would see the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. Here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is John. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, this is a very humble thing John is saying. Who is the greatest of prophets? whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Just that statement alone. I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes. Isn't that something? Which in the East, that was a disgrace to touch somebody's shoes or to be touched by somebody's shoes. It is to this day. I'm not even worthy. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. I'd like to have heard this conversation. Saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it for now. For thus it becometh us. Isn't that beautiful? Us. You and me. You know, John, I'm not even worthy to undo your shoes. And here Jesus Christ says to him, it's us. It's our responsibility to fulfill that which God has given us to fulfill. Isn't that something? And so John, allow it. Amen. Really something. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ was that one. He would baptize with Spirit. I want you to, let's go back to Acts. And both John and Jesus Christ taught regarding this. Jesus Christ, what child asks his father, you know, for a piece of bread, and that father gives him a stone? Remember that record? I think it's in Luke. Or ask him a fish, and that father would give him a serpent. What father would do that? How much more will your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask? Or in John, the Comforter. I will not leave you comfort. That's something. There's a lot of things I'd love to show you, but I can't right now. But when the Comforter has come, I'll show you then. He taught them about receiving Spirit, about being baptized with Spirit. See, and he continued to teach them in his resurrected body these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. This was the gift that they would receive. When they therefore were come together. Now this word come together can mean you either get together or you accompany somebody somewhere. Now we know from the end of Luke 24, it says that Jesus Christ led them to Bethany. He led them out as far as Bethany. So the way it's used here, it's not that they came together in a little meeting. Jesus Christ was leading them, and they were accompanying him. And as they were accompanying him to Bethany, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive what?
Power.
After that, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, Jesus Christ in this verse brings it back to Holy Spirit. He brings it back to the Spirit that they would receive that was mentioned in verse 5. And that this Spirit would come with what? Power. It would come with power, and it would be that which would enable them to be what? Witnesses unto him. And this is that spirit that he had been teaching them about. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And he will. He will come in like manner. You can read about this like manner in Revelation 19. There's a day coming when he's going to come with the clouds. And he's going to come to the earth. Pretty neat. Anyway, I want you to go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now we know that this is 10 days after Jesus Christ ascended. The agreement that they had made is that they were to tarry in Jerusalem, and that he would pour out Spirit, that he would take care of that which he had promised, and that he had taught them that he would do. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were like-minded. That's what that word "one accord" means. Like soul, like-minded. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind or a heavy breathing. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, unto these men, it was the 11, and then Matthias. These 12 men. By this time, Judas had killed himself. So these 12 men, it appeared unto them, cloven tongues, like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they, these men, were all filled with, and it should read, filled with Holy Spirit. The article is not in any critical Greek text. Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit, what? Gave them utterance. This is something that had never happened before. This had never happened before. This event, which was manifested by these men speaking in tongues, was the most monumental event to ever occur to mankind to this point. Because it was the pouring out of that Spirit which had been promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. This pouring out of Spirit, this event, was the demonstration, the proof, the manifestation that all that Jesus Christ had come to accomplish in his sacrifice was indeed accomplished. Isn't that something? Because Spirit was poured out. He won back Spirit. And so for the first time, man had Spirit reinstated. And that Spirit was born in him. And that Spirit was life. It was the life that Jesus Christ came to bring by his sacrifice. And it is the deposit of the life that we will have at his return. That body fashioned like unto his resurrected body. All of this is what took place here on this particular Pentecost. Isn't that something? Just like that. In an instant, that which had been a promise is now a what? It's a reality. It's no longer a promise. It's a reality. And it is simply available. That's what happened here. And it's manifested by what? by speaking in tongues. That's something. Verse 5. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's what they heard. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? What does this mean? What does this mean? And what happens after this, we're not going to read the whole record. But it is Peter, that same Peter, who a month earlier, or 40 days earlier, or 50 days earlier, or whatever, was behind closed door for fear of the Judeans. This Peter, now born again, has spirit, he stands up and he's going to answer this question. He's going to answer the question, what does this mean? What does what mean? What had they seen? They'd seen speaking in tongues. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't know what it represented. They didn't understand the gravity of this. They didn't know how huge this was to God. They didn't know that God had been planning this for so long. They didn't know. All they'd heard was speaking in tongues. What does this mean? And now Peter's going to answer. Verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, excuse me, no, lifted up his voice. And he said unto them, You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken. You listen carefully to what I have to say here. Listen carefully. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And I want you to remember this, that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved. What Peter is explaining here is that that prophecy in Joel was referring to this time when Spirit would be poured out, manifested by speaking in tongues. And in Joel it says, in those last days. And then this ends with, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved or delivered. This phrase, last days, is used a few other places. It's used in Hebrews. It's used in 2 Peter. And it's used in reference to the time in which we live. This time beginning with the day of Pentecost, when the first entry into the kingdom of God was made available. And it came with power. when those first children were born on the day of Pentecost. That's what those men were seeing. In Romans, it says the time in which we live, it's high tide. There's barely any time left. What is it that they would be saved from or delivered from? That great and notable day of the Lord. Because it's coming. Do you understand? It's coming. And this day, this time is the last days. This is the last days. When anybody can call on the name of the Lord and he'll be delivered from that great and notable day of the Lord. Because it is absolutely coming. And it's not a good day. It's going to be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day of a lot of things. There's going to be blood. There's going to be vaporous smoke. There's going to be a lot of things happen. But all who call upon the name of the Lord are delivered from that day. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And it began here. It began here. This is the first phase of the kingdom of God that began in the day of Pentecost. Was this a significant day of Pentecost?
Yeah.
See? And that's what we recognize. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, that first feast that Israel celebrated began the day after the Passover. The Passover this particular year was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was a lamb taken out from the flock. He was a man taken out from among men without blemish. And he sacrificed himself on behalf of all men that they might be delivered. He then offered himself after he was resurrected as the first fruits offering from the dead. 50 days later, he shed forth this, which we'll read in a moment, that which you now see and hear. What had they seen and heard? Speaking in tongues. Isn't that something? That's right. This began the harvest of children for the kingdom of God. And it was manifested, or the demonstration of the proof of it, is speaking in tongues, just as it is today. Whenever a man or woman speaks in tongues, he's a child of God. He is part of the kingdom of God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
But there's a future day coming, which that Feast of Ingathering pointed to, when all of the harvest will be gathered. And a lot of that is going to involve judgment. But guess what? That time cannot begin until Jesus Christ gathers his church. His church began on this Pentecost that we're reading about here in Acts chapter 2. Pretty significant day, wasn't it? Pretty significant time. Ha! What meaneth this? Ah! And you know what? There are many out there that still ask that. What meaneth this?
Yes.
And we can tell them. Let's look at verse 32. Peter continues to teach them, and in verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you, and it should read, see and hear. Jesus Christ shed it forth. Jesus Christ told his men, he taught his men that he would shed it forth. Isn't that something? For David is not ascended into the heavens. David is dead. But he has set himself. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes, thy footstool. Whenever I read this, I think about that question that Jesus Christ asked the Pharisees when they were tempting him. He says, you know what? Let me ask you a question, then I'll answer yours. David said that that said unto his Lord, you know, sit thou on my right hand. How then is the Lord the son of David? They couldn't answer it. They couldn't answer it. Mess up. Okay. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked, pierced in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? What do we do? What a great response. What do we do? They got it. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of, and it should read, your sins. And you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you. It's unto you. And it's unto your children. And unto all that are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know, this phrase, afar off, it is used both in terms of distance, and it's also used in terms of time. Because there are those who teach that speaking in tongues died with the apostles. Well, we know that's not true. Because first of all, the promise is unto you and to your who? And to them that are what? Far off. See, it's all the last days. The last days didn't end with the death of the apostles. And the giving of Holy Spirit and the salvation to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die with the apostles. It is as true today as the day we're reading about right now. Because the Lord has not returned yet. He hasn't gathered His church. Because we're still here. But that day is coming. It is coming. When He's going to return. And that will begin a period of time that is no longer grace like we have today. Isn't that something? We are righteous by grace. We are righteous by virtue of the new birth by simply confessing Jesus as Lord, believing that God raised Him from the dead. It's amazing. It's amazing. We're delivered. We are totally delivered. And speaking in tongues is the proof of all of it. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. And they that gladly received, or should read, gladly, or should read, accepted. They that accepted his word were baptized. This baptism is what kind of baptism? Verse 38. Baptized in the name of who? Jesus Christ. Same day were added unto them about 3,000. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle and the apostles' doctrine. They stayed with the Word of God. They continued learning regarding what it was that Jesus Christ had accomplished. That's something. That's where they stayed. Because that was the reality. It's the reality for us today. I want to close in Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to read a couple of verses. You know, it's... the Word of God is so awesome. You know, we've considered briefly a little bit regarding the feasts and how that feast of ingathering is pointing to an event that has not yet taken place, but will take place in the future. We read where John said, he will baptize. He whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch. He will baptize with Holy Spirit and with what? And with fire. They'll gather the wheat, you know. He'll baptize, or what is it? Fire unquenchable, I think we read. That's future. That's future. The first baptism is that baptism with Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? That's what's available today by grace. And in the future, when Jesus Christ returns, we'll be with Him. We will be with Him as His body, as His church. As His church. See, isn't that something?
Yeah.
See, that's, and just as in a moment, the promise of Spirit became a reality, so will be with the return of Jesus Christ. In a moment, that promise will be a reality. Just like that. What meaneth this? And that's what a lot in the world are going to say. They're going to say, what means this? What does this mean? Many will say, peace and safety, finally. Many will say, oh my God, He was Lord. But they're not going to enjoy the grace that we enjoy today. Because we've been delivered. Isn't that something? So when we speak God's word to somebody, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It really is. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us, rescued us from the exercise of the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Isn't that something? In whom we have redemption. And it should just simply read, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been released by His sacrifice. He was our Passover. Isn't that something? We've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been moved from one place to another. We are citizens of heaven. We are in the kingdom of God. See? It came. It came on Pentecost. That's when it began. See? And we are children of the kingdom. We are children of the kingdom. Isn't that something? All because we believed on Jesus Christ. So, that's what I mean when I say, happy birthday. It's a big deal, isn't it? So, amen. Well, I tell you what. Why don't we hear from our Heavenly Father?